My first guest on today's program, though, is emerging from an incredible week of behind-the-scenes chess plays and horse trading, all of which have led to major talks that start today in South Africa and which could determine the fate of Zimbabwe. Arthur Mutambara is the leader of a faction within the Movement for Democratic Change that's led by Morgan Tsvangirai. Both men, plus Robert Mugabe and South African President Thabo Mbeki, are participating in talks that many hope might culminate in some sort of national unity government. Now, we've spoken to the ambitious Arthur Mutambara before, and he's always enlightening highly about his country's politics, way beyond the newspaper headlines. The question is he acting at the moment as a noble circuit breaker in this long-running tragedy, or more an opportunist? I'm delighted that he could spare some time to talk to us at the start of a very busy weekend. Professor Mutambara, welcome back to Saturday Extra.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to read you a rather difficult old summary that I read in the Guardian newspaper this week. Said that you were a shameless opportunist who has appeared to be currying favour with his former enemies by parroting Mr. Mugabe's anti-Western rhetoric. Now, I take it that you fundamentally disagree with that summary?
And yes, we do. What we have said, we did a press conference on Wednesday and made it very clear that this is a tripartite negotiations framework. There cannot be a bilateral agreement out of this framework. Either all three principals agree and we have a solution in our country, or if one of them doesn't agree, then there's no solution. So there's absolutely no way that our party is going to cut a deal with Mugabe to the exclusion of Morgan Tsvangirai. So that must be understood without equivocation or ambiguity. We're in here because Zimbabwe is going through a humanitarian, economic and political crisis of immense proportion. And we're driven by the national interest. We're driven by the desires of the people of Zimbabwe to move from poverty, from misery, to a justiciable environment in our country. And we are saying all the leaders, all the three political leaders, must put national interest before self-interest.
So why did so many papers around the world get this wrong then?
Because they're very stupid. They're very stupid. It's as simple as that. You, in the first place, technically, you can't have a bilateral agreement from a three-party negotiation framework. Secondly, because the negotiations are being held with confidentiality, so they didn't have the information. And there was also propaganda on the part of ZANU to try to put pressure on Mr. Tsvangirai by saying to the world, if Mr. Tsvangirai doesn't agree, we're going to work with Mr. Mutambara. And we're saying, no, no, no.
So what did you agree with?
Any foolish journalist who has the nerve to believe that Mutambara can cut a deal with Mugabe in this framework is sick in the mind.
Okay, that's a good rebuttal. What did you agree to anything that made the negotiations advance then?
Okay, what we've done is that we've agreed on all issues, the three of us, Morgan Tsvangirai, Robert Mugabe, and Mutambara, have agreed on everything except one issue. And I'm not at liberty to discuss that one issue, but I can say there's one issue which is outstanding. And Mr. Tsvangirai has asked for time out to reflect and consult on that matter. And we respect that because in any negotiations, we must allow our colleagues the opportunity to reflect and consult.
So you're not going to tell us what that is, I take it?
Yes, but I must say that on that issue, we as a party have no problem with the current position in the negotiations. And so that's where we are in agreement with ZANU on that particular issue, and Mr. Tsvangirai is on his own. I must emphasize, I am not beholden to Mr. Tsvangirai. I am not beholden to Robert Mugabe. I'm a separate political party holding the balance of power in our parliament. And we use that balance of power in the national interest. I'm not bound to agree with Tsvangirai all the time. When I disagree with Morgan Tsvangirai, I will go against him. I'm a separate political party with its own existence. However, we hope that the negotiations are going to continue. Mr. Tsvangirai will reflect and will be able to come up with an agreement that will be signed by the three principals. Right now, nothing has been signed. Nothing.
Okay. So can I ask you this, which is what the world is waiting for, that Tsvangirai is looking for the transfer of real executive power from the president's office to someone else. Now, can you tell us from your inside knowledge whether that is on the table?
Of course, as I said before, we are not allowed as part of the framework to negotiate in the media. We are only allowed to discuss those matters that the facilitator has allowed us to discuss. What I can tell you is that we are working towards a practical and reasonable and justifiable political settlement in our country. And most of the reports that are in the media are false. And we are hoping that the Zimbabwean political leaders will come up with an agreement. What we must emphasize, the thing about the West, that I'm parroting Mr. Mugabe's language, let me make it very clear. We are discussing as Africans. We are discussing as Zimbabweans. And we brook no interference from patronizing Westerners who make the following statements. For example, saying to us, we will not accept an agreement unless it's led by a particular leader. Who are you to tell Africans how to run their affairs? If the three leaders agree on a particular position, it's not for Britain, it's not for Australia, it's not for America to tell us we are wrong. Who are you? How dare you undermine our intelligence? How dare you are so racist to the extent that you can't guarantee us and give us the respect, the vote of confidence that we can make our own decisions?
Well,
to enjoy our collective foolishness. We won't allow Australia to judge our agreement. It's none of your business.
Let me bring up the issue of the Josh.
I haven't finished. Secondly, you have individuals in the West saying to us that Zimbabweans are not capable of making a decision. With individuals and governments in Europe and America imposing sanctions while we are talking. We must not do anything to damage the rapprochement, the spirit of discussions while people are talking. If sanctions are imposed after the failure of the talks, it's a different matter. But to impose sanctions while we are talking is a travesty of justice. And we're saying, shame on you for expressing no confidence in Morgan Tsvangirai. Shame on you for expressing no confidence in Mugabe. Shame on you for expressing no confidence in Mutambara. We will not brook that nonsense.
Is it possible, and this is what I think some people with some memories are wondering, that you or Mr. Tsvangirai could be walking into a trap as Joshua Nkomo did in the 80s, where it looked like a power-sharing agreement and, in fact, as you know...
Very good question. You think I'm stupid. When you ask that question, you think we're foolish, and we're very offended that you think we're that stupid. We are smarter than the Australians, we're smarter than the Americans, we went to better schools than most of these leaders in America, in Britain and Australia. I'm coming out of Oxford. None of your prime ministers can challenge me intellectually. So how do you patronize me and tell me that I'm going to be hoodwinked by Mugabe? You're doubting my intelligence. Shame on you.
So you are quite confident that this veritable old stager called Robert Mugabe is not going to emerge in the same level of power as before. You're quite confident of that, are you?
Very confident, because we know what we're doing. We are capable Africans, we're capable Zimbabweans. We are very clever people.
Let me just put something else to you about a very interesting observation made by an African man, actually writing in the African Executive, that the difficulty about African politics is that ethnicity can take centre stage long after the tribal war has been won. And he was suggesting that this has been a real problem for Zimbabwe, and in trying to move to a new settlement, it does bedevil a lot of your efforts, no matter how difficult the crisis. Are you confident you can rise above that?
That is complete nonsense, which is not even worth my comment. Next question, please.
So this is not... We should
complete
not...
Complete nonsense, not worth my comment.
Okay.
Can we have the next question, please?
Well, so you're telling me, by the sound of you, Arthur, and we've spoken to you a couple of times, you are starting to feel some real confidence that these terrible times that have afflicted your country might be coming to an end?
We have cautious optimism. We're not overconfident. We have cautious optimism. And we hope that all the political leaders in our country will put national interest before self-interest. We are very, very keen that we are driven by what's good for the country, what's good for the people of Zimbabwe, not what's good for Morgan Tsvangirai, not what's good for Mutambara, not what's good for Mugabe, or what's good for the West, what's good for America, Britain, and so on. We should be driven by the Zimbabwean national interest, and we're smart enough to be able to extract a reasonable deal from these negotiations. So, and there will be no bilateral arrangement. Mm. It will be a threesome agreement.
And you said, will the West not like what's going to emerge?
They can go to hell. Who are you? Do we judge your elections in Australia? Do we judge your elections and your agreements in America and Europe? Nonsense. If Tsvangirai agrees, who are you as Australia to judge and say Tsvangirai is wrong?
So what, in your view, is the ideal outcome of this weekend's talk, Arthur Martinbarra?
The best outcome is to get an agreement where Mr. Tsvangirai, Mr. Mugabe, and myself say this is a good arrangement for our country. We all agree and are going to sign this document. This is the best short-term answer to extricate our country from the West situation in which it is. And I must emphasize that whatever we agree upon this weekend or the week after, it's a short-term answer. It's not the long-term solution for our country. The long-term solution for our country is to get a new people-driven democratic constitution, creating a national vision, 20-30-year vision, to make Zimbabwe a globally competitive economy, and hence economically transforming ourselves so that in terms of per capita income, GDP, business growth, entrepreneurship, financial literacy, we are one of the top 20 countries in the world. We are on a long journey to the promised land.
Thank you very much indeed, Arthur Martinbarra. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
And Professor Arthur Martinbarra.